there in Jellyland, it's time for another Last Point at the Arcade with your host, Lucas Wilson,
co-host Matthew Buckley,
and
Kay Norton. I'm the pretty one.
No doubt about that. We've got
a legendary game for this legendary episode of Last Coin at the Arcade.
Hey.
Yep. Wait for it.
Leave the puns to Kay.
Alright.
So what we did is we played the game Legendary. It's this first-person shooter developed by Spark Unlimited and published by Gamecock Media Group. And
released in 2008. For PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and PCs.
And it was terrible.
Pretty bad. I think we can all come to a consensus on that.
So
I hated this game. I think I hated it more than Damnation.
Wow. That's saying something.
So should I take care of like the plot synopsis, or should somebody else?
I can kind of summarize.
All right, how about you? You're the only one that managed to finish the game.
Yeah, I did go all the way through. And
I got
I'm
close.
Still alive, I think. So I can give you a little plot summation here real quick. The game is about a man named Charles Deckard, who is an art thief. You start out by breaking into some New York City museum. I don't think they ever disclose which one. And you're tasked with stealing Pandora's box, but Deckard ends up opening it and unleashing a whole big horde of monsters on the world. And he also gets something called the Signet on his arm, which grants him special magical powers. And then you spend the rest of the game pretty much fighting against something called the Black Order and trying to basically defeat all these monsters. Did I miss anything, Luke?
Yeah, I guess you know the guy that hired you to do stuff is trying to control these monsters while the other dudes you end up joining is trying to stop them.
Yeah,
you think he would have picked up on it once he found out he was working for something called the Black Order.
Yeah, that's kind of a dead giveaway right there.
He's an art thief?
Yeah.
I didn't pick up on that for some reason. Maybe I was chewing on a potato chip or something when they said that. But
I think it was disclosed like once in the very beginning.
I just find it kind of funny.
In the slideshow.
Yeah, oh yeah, that slideshow. I just find it funny that the world is being saved by a criminal.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. It was sort of a nice change.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's just kind of funny. He kind of just drops in it like he's been a good guy the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, yeah, he's the one that unleashed this, like, cataclysmic event, and now, all of a sudden, he's up to the task of, like, restoring order? I mean, you think a criminal wouldn't have that kind of moral caliber.
Yeah, especially one that just steals art all the time.
Yep.
I mean, the beginning of the game was a little weird, too. I mean, he, like, inserts his hand into this box, and I'm like, why is he doing that? And
that's like, such a good idea.
Yeah.
Really?
What, was he told to?
No, he just, like, approaches the box, and there's, like, a little hole that appears in it. He just sticks his hand in, you hear him screaming.
Oh! Yeah, then he's got that thing that lets him soak up dead animal powers.
Yeah, like the animus energy?
Yeah.
What is that stuff, anyway?
Yeah. Did this game remind anyone of Assassin's Creed, if it had been, like, terrible?
Other than the word animus, not really.
Maybe that was what it was, but it...
What?
This game makes me so angry.
Yeah.
Like...
It's very frustrating. Just
the beginning. Like, the beginning, there's an optional slideshow that's the intro that tells you the story. But you don't have to watch that, so you can go into the game basically without knowing the plot, and yet they make the cutscenes unskippable, which really sucks after you've died 5 times.
In the PC, at least, Matt says he thought he could...
I don't really remember, to be honest. I mean, most of the cutscenes were kind of short anyway, except for the ones like between the levels, so I didn't really have too much of a problem
with
that.
Yeah, but there's like the one I had the most... you couldn't save whenever you wanted to, which... I can, some people are like, oh, games are too easy now, you can just save whenever you want. But some games, you should be able to just save when you need to. Like,
especially
I can understand where, like, a platformer like Mario or something would work well with checkpoint system.
Mm-hmm.
But not this game, where, you get far, and then all of a sudden, like, oh, crap, I need to go take the dog for a walk or something, and you...
Take the dog for a walk?
Something you... Well, yeah, maybe you could pause the game and come back to them. I got... Okay. I have to go... I rescue a puppy from a well in Nicaragua. But...
Yeah.
The,
I'd say that's more worthwhile than this game. Just a thought.
Better cause.
But well, the thing was... You had the hope that the checkpoint was pretty recent. And...
Yeah.
And I had to fight a griffin. You didn't get that far, Kay. Matt got past that, and it was a pain in the ass because I only managed to defeat it because it got stuck in a corner trying to bite somebody. Mm-hmm.
Glitched it to death. Basically.
Yeah, I glitched it to death. I just kept chucking Molotovs at it and shooting until it died. Because all the other times I tried doing it, just like comes at you faster than you can move, and your sprint just runs out. And you're kind of left, and like it's not like it charges at you can jump out of the way. It just like comes at you. If you jump out of the way, it just turns at you and pecks you.
Oh yeah, there's no
and
escaping.
And it's like you can't escape it. Like you know, in Gears 2, right? There was that giant raging monster thing.
The berserker thing. Or...
Yeah, and you could jump out of its way, and you could shoot at it.
Oh
with...
yeah. That made sense.
But when they tried doing that with the griffin and with the minotaurs.
Oh my god, the minotaurs.
It wouldn't work. They would just keep coming at you, and, like, your sprint would just run out too fast. Well,
what makes it worse is...
Yes, this...
In, like, the first couple levels, you have, like, these weapons that you're introduced to, but, like, after that, you never get any other upgrades or, like, stronger weapons other than the rocket launcher. So, like, the enemies keep getting stronger, but you have nothing stronger to fight them with.
Just your fire axe.
Yeah, I thought that was weird that you were carrying around a fire axe this whole game.
It's kind of useful
it
against the
werewolves.
It
seemed to work better for me than the guns, but that's also because I suck at FPSs.
Yeah, for me too, at the very beginning of the game, the axe worked better than the guns at killing things. It worked better with the werewolves, it worked better with those dragon things. The dragon things would just soak
dragons.
Up your bullets.
You mean the fire drakes?
Yeah, the fire drakes. They would just soak up your bullets because they're made of fire. And the werewolves...
By the way, what did you guys think of the werewolves? They were easily my least favorite enemy in the game, because they
were the most common, too.
Well, like, because you always encounter these monster closets where it would be an unlimited stream of them, and they're, like, so aggressive that they just keep rampaging against you until you kill them. By the time you kill one, another one's already well on its way.
Oh, like that time? Oh, like that one
actually...
level... Sorry, Kay.
Go ahead, Lucas. Go.
Oh, well, like, you had to... What are you doing? You were, like, coming in with your head, like, ugh. But,
okay.
You know when you had to grab the Pandora's box from that downed helicopter?
Yeah, yep.
And those wolves just kept coming in.
Yeah.
I had to play that over and over.
And you go against the alpha wolves and the ghost wolves, and these wolves just keep getting stronger.
Again, this is why checkpoints are awful in a game like this.
Yeah.
The thing with the guns... Oh, one thing that worked really, really, really well against wolves? The flamethrower.
I can imagine.
Did you try it?
Not
doesn't that
really.
Work well
no,
against
I...
everything in-game or out?
Well, in the game, no, not really, because it's kind of a short range. It wouldn't work against a fire drake, obviously.
Yeah,
and then those little pixie things are kind of stupid. And the big creatures, they'll just shake it off. But the wolves, which are the most common...
Well, the flamethrower works well against, like, the other soldiers, too.
Yeah, but, like, they can shoot at you.
Yeah.
So it's, like, you can't, like, go run at them.
Right.
Like, you're gonna have to duck, so which makes it kind of not really useful. But the wolves come at you, you let them get close enough, you go, and, like, one shot, all of a sudden they start screaming, and then they're dying. Like, all the other ones, you need to keep going, do. The flamethrower took care of these werewolves pretty quick, and I didn't find out until, like, really late in the game. Although the gun I ended up just kind of reverting to when I was able to get to it, was that heavy machine gun?
I like the light machine gun thing that had like huge clips, so you didn't have to reload it too often. Do you know what I'm talking about?
The first one you got, or the one with the scope.
It doesn't have a scope.
Oh, I hated that gun.
Iron sights.
I didn't like that.
Really?
Yeah, I didn't like that.
I liked it.
I like the heavy machine guns. It was just like you got 400 rounds. So like when you got like werewolves everywhere, you're just like and like the enemy soldiers are like.
I was actually pretty really. I was pretty disappointed by the enemies in the game, because I'm like, oh, legendary creatures. You know, I'm a total dorky kid, so I know all these, and there were like 5 different monsters you could fight, and I'm like, you have so many choices, and you choose werewolves and griffins and whatever those are. Fire lizards?
Fire
hated drinks. Those.
Well, like, another thing is, like, the Pandora's Box is like a Greek myth, but they have monsters from like a variety of different like cultures.
Now,
I brought that up too with Kay before. It's like, I like the idea that there's monsters from several different cultures in this. I thought that was cool. But it did seem out of place with something like Pandora's Box, which is a Greek myth.
Here is what really struck me. This is like the only part of the game that actually I thought about, other than going, this is horrible. The fact that Pandora's Box is a real thing kind of implies that Greek gods exist. And I am actually far more interested in knowing what this implies in the game's universe than about killing griffins or saving the world or anything.
Yeah.
Or was I the only one who thought of that?
I didn't really think
about that.
That
never really occurred to me.
Yeah, it didn't occur to me. Although I was trying to, like, figure out what this whole Council of 98. This is the good guys, and supposedly they're the ones who trapped all these creatures in the box, and they were trying to hide the box. And I think that's what it was. At least they were trying to hide the box.
Yep.
And, there's no explanation as to why they're called the Council of 98. You'd think maybe there's like 98 tribes or something.
There's certainly more than 98 of them, because they keep respawning over and over again when you're like in battle.
Yeah.
You get taken out, and two seconds later,
there's like
5 more.
It's like this ancient order, like this anti-Illuminati, basically, that's trying to keep the world safe from all these creatures and stuff. But it's like, in their description, like, you get these, like, kind of stupid updates in your menu that, like, really poorly scripted. Where did,
oh,
like,
I kind of like those.
I don't know.
Were those, like, the messages?
The little messages and stuff.
Yeah, I never read those.
And, well, like, you get updates. I remember reading about the Council of 98, and they just kind of describe them as a group of ancient humans. There's no significant backstory or anything, so it felt like I kind of felt detached from that, because it was just kind of like there's ways to just kind of like present something that just is what it is, but like when you bring up something that seems to have like this enormous history, didn't play with it at all. And then they're in opposition to this thing called the Black Hand, which I remember
it's the Black Order.
Yeah, the Black Order, who are only been around since like 1945.
They're Nazis. They have to be.
Always the Nazis. All right. Dave and I talk about Nazis too much on No U-Turns.
Well, like, part of, like, well, with the factions being so weak, that relates back to the story being so bad. Because you have, like, no idea what's going on. You have no motivation to really go forward and find out what's going to happen next. Because it just doesn't really make a lot of sense, and it doesn't really compel you to keep playing.
Yeah. I will give the game this. They had a valiant attempt at immersion, however you say that.
Uh-huh.
But it really just fell flat. Like,
yeah.
So you play this thief, and he gets to remove electronic lock panels and rewire them, which could have been really cool, except it completely broke the flow of the game, and you're sitting there and gotta pick another lock.
Every door is opened by touching 2 wires together.
Oh. Before I forget, that was another thing that I hated in this game, where when I was in the subway and crawling through vents and trying to escape, there was a door, and it didn't have an electronic panel, it was just a door, and I couldn't open it. Like, my brain fried out for a second. But it's like, okay, you can fight griffins, you can pick locks, but you can't open a regular door.
But
maybe there was a werewolf behind it, I don't know. But it annoyed the hell out of me.
There's something about just this whole plot of the story that...
Like, plus, like, the main antagonist, Lefay, is, like, completely uninteresting. He makes, like, two or three appearances in the whole game.
Yeah. There's nothing really important about him. There's nothing... Besides all the creatures running around, there just really doesn't feel anything, like, quite at stake here.
Yeah.
Like, you know...
Other than the world.
I know, the world's falling apart, but still, you're like, you don't...
Yeah, if the world is that boring, though, I'm not sure I really want to put in the effort to save it.
But also, like, they tried making it, like, you know, creating these kind of emotional instances. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, dead... Mm-hmm. You see dead people who are trying to fend themselves off all over the place, you know? And,
oh,
but,
I have a great one for that.
But even though... But it's just, like, the way they animated, like, people, it just kind of looks cartoony.
Yeah.
Okay.
It doesn't... You don't get that kind of, the feel. You'd be like, I don't know what game would better...
Did you guys think it was strange that, like, this disaster just strikes, but it seems like the world is, like, a lot more, like, ravaged than it should be? Like, in the first level of the game, there's already, like, dead bodies in the sewers and, like, all this other stuff. Like, how did that take place over the course of, like, under an hour?
Oh, you know, when you went to London?
Big monsters.
When you went to London to infiltrate Lefay's headquarters? Mm-hmm. I don't know what he's doing in London. But,
well, he has his, like, base underneath the House of Parliament or something.
Yeah.
Although that was kind of,
also, didn't... there's a kraken in the river. And
oh, yeah.
When I heard that, I just started laughing. Like, it got to the point where I just can't take this ridiculousness anymore.
Yeah, you had to fight the Kraken,
but
it was
kind of easy.
I know, it was one of the easiest boss battles. It was frustrating because every time I shot the rocket launcher to its mouth, it would hit the brick wall.
Well, you had to lock on like the tentacles.
I know, you would hit the tentacles, which was really easy, and it barely tried to take a swipe at you.
Yeah.
And then after you did the tentacle thing, it would open its mouth, and I would track onto the mouth of the rocket launcher, shoot it, and it would hit the bridge that I was standing on instead of its mouth.
You think that would be the most powerful enemy in the game, because it pretty much is, and you beat it pretty easily.
Yep. All your problems can be solved with a rocket launcher.
Pretty much the only lesson I took from this game.
What was I
talking
about?
Also, if you see an ancient Greek box, don't stick your hand in it.
So what...
Like, I'm playing this game, you know, running through all this destruction, and I'm only thinking... Nice job breaking it, hero.
So, you said you had a story about something?
Oh, yes. When we were talking about the various people like dying in the street or whatever. There's this scene near the beginning of the game when you're running through New York City trying very hard not to die, and if you play like me, generally failing at it. You run into this building and there's like a big hole that's been torn in the wall. And what you're supposed to see is, like, a police officer getting dragged off by a griffin.
Oh, yeah.
But before that, he's trying to, like, desperately cling to the broken pieces of the wall, and he's hanging upside down. Well, I arrived on the scene too early, or something, and so I walk in, and all I see is a police officer hanging upside down from the ceiling, screaming for his life. And then, after I get down, the griffin finally flies in, but I'm like, really? Wow.
I thought some of those animations with the violence was cool. Well, not really cool, but like well animated. But a lot of times it just seemed like they were trying too hard. Like they were making it like a showcase for like gore or like an excuse to show like different violence.
Oh yeah, it was. It felt really kind of cartoony to me. Yeah. So like somebody's like on the ground writhing from like a bullet wound kind
people,
of way.
Like spontaneously combusting and like shockwaves. It was just like too over the top.
And one thing I have to say is like I was getting so sick of a griffin pulling people out of helicopters. It was like a trope they just kept going with, was that you'd be in a helicopter and the pilot gets ripped out.
Yep.
It happens over and over and over again.
And with werewolves like skewering your teammates.
Oh yeah, your teammates never stuck around very long.
In the same scene as the aforementioned guy getting pulled off the roof or whatever, a griffin will poke its head into the window, and you can stand, like, right in front of it, and it will just snap its beak at you and fly away. And I'm like, oh, if you're hungry, I'm here. So how were the... I want to know if this was just my computer or if the game's graphics were really that bad. So how were they on yours?
Graphics, the world was pretty decent. The graphics of the world were pretty decent. I'm just going to say the people, whoever modeled these characters didn't know what they were doing. The faces just look really squishy and
kind of distorted
and stuff. And it's just like, and they don't animate well with, like, the talking. And also kind of funny that, you know, the dude who is in charge of, like, the military for the Council of 98.
Yeah.
That's the guy that does the voice on how things are made.
So every time you talk, you thought about that.
The apocalypse, how it's made.
Well, I played the game on Xbox, and I didn't really notice too many problems with the graphics.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's not the best in terms of graphics compared to something like Gears of War, which is another, like, kind of post-apocalyptic disaster game. I mean, obviously, well, that's much better, but this wasn't
too bad.
I'm pretty
sure they made this game on a budget of about $50. I'm not really sure what they spent the budget on, but I'm pretty sure it wasn't writers.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they thought they could just throw in a lot of action, violence, and monsters, and people would just go to town.
Yeah, well, my graphics were terrible, and I tried to adjust them, and they didn't change, so... All the fire, of which there was quite a bit, it was just, like, orange squares floating, and then none of the people had, like, faces. It looked like they had basically put clothes on a mannequin. So when they talked, it was really creepy.
Sounds like your game experience was a lot worse than mine. Do you guys think this game could be redeemed by a sequel? You didn't get to the ending, but it does kind of leave it open.
Well,
they were probably hoping.
Yeah.
I want to bury this game, but I'm trying to think about this in a different light.
Again,
they had expanded, like, if you could expand on the world in the sequel and make characters that we care about. And maybe not even star the lead guy, but give him, like, a cameo and just set it in the same universe.
I think this game could be remade. I like the concept of having this guy who's burdened by setting this disaster on the world, and it's kind of his responsibility to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was kind of a cool concept.
Yeah. You just got to make the story a lot richer.
Characters need to be kind of fleshed out.
Yeah, fleshed out.
Everybody
yeah.
was just completely flat.
Yeah, I was going to say, again... The Council of 98, when they're fighting with you, they're pretty much fodder. Like, you kept coming across somebody who seemed like he was, like, some head dude. It's like, oh, hey, Decker, come here, man.
You keep
getting
reinforcements only for them to be completely wiped out by werewolves.
Like every cut, like, you'd hit, like, a cutscene, but they'd say, oh, yeah, come with
us.
And as soon as that cutscene would end, that new, like, squad leader that you joined up with dies.
Let's see, I'm looking at my notes, and mostly I have, this is terrible, I hate checkpoints. So, was there anything you guys actually liked about the game? Because there was, like, one thing I actually did, which was surprising. I did like how if you press the certain button, they would show you, like, where your objective is. They didn't tell you how to get there, of course. But for confused gamers like me, it's pretty helpful.
On consoles, you just, like, click down on the, on one of the sticks, and it showed where your objective was.
Yeah, that was helpful. Like, sometimes it was, like, really unclear where you're supposed to be going, and that would help.
The level design was already really linear, though, so it wasn't,
I know,
like...
but there was a couple times where it was just like, I keep running back and forth, and where am I? And, I don't know, I like the idea of all these mythological creatures from different cultures being unleashed upon the world, and you're trying to make right.
Yeah.
I like the griffins.
The griffins were kind of cool. The whole the chaos
were pretty well designed.
Kind of like the initial chaos.
Yeah, I really did actually like the beginning where it's like, okay, you've unleashed hell. What are you gonna do? Run and panic like a normal person. I mean, that was one good thing I did like about the beginning, is that the very beginning gets to feel so frantic and hectic, and then the game really goes downhill from there.
One thing
they didn't really make the Animus powers, like, something you had to use. Because, like, I never... You had this ability to send, like, this Animus pulse at enemies, but I never really used that. I only used Animus regenerate myself.
Oh, I would... Yeah. If you were going to do that, take that power, actually make it more useful. It's like, you either used it to pulse creatures, stun creatures to keep them off of you, which was only good for, like, one or two if you were charged up enough, or to regain your health. That was the only two good things.
Or you could use them to use these, like, Animus machines to control the monsters, but that wasn't until, like, the very end.
Yeah, and it didn't really control monsters too well, either.
For, like, 2 seconds.
2 seconds, a werewolf would attack
somebody else.
Yeah, and then come after you.
Another thing I didn't like about this game is that most of it was just kind of a slog. Like, it wasn't really fun or enjoyable. It was just kind of like a chore to have to go
through these levels.
Kill things
here, then run over here and kill more things!
Yeah.
Right? Kill all 5 monsters that we've created for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Luke, what are we going to rate this game?
What are we going to rate
on our unique scale?
On our unique scale. Oh, man. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with this game. Visually, it's okay, except for the modeling of, like, the people. It has potential. What did I rate the last game?
Geist? I think you gave it, like...
A 3? You gave it a 3?
You gave it, like... 3 ghost girls out of 4 or something like that.
I'll give this game
2 griffin heads out of 5.
I'll give it 2
2 fire axes. So this is how memorable the game was.
I'll give it 2 decapitated werewolves.
I was going to give it 2 decapitated werewolves, actually. Well, no, that's what I had been planning to say when I was thinking about doing this podcast earlier.
I guess it's we all gave it a 2.
Well, I give it 1 for the attempts of being good. And
I don't really think it attempted that hard.
Somebody had a good idea.
But it was a sincere attempt, at least in, like, the immersion.
Yeah, somebody on this development team was really trying, but everyone else was just kind of...
Yep. And the other decapitated werewolf is for the griffins.
The griffins were pretty cool.
Yeah, they were pretty cool. Yes. They were everywhere. Except you only
fought a lot of times they were just like that made me happy.
Yeah. So Matt,
yes sir.
Before we sign off,
we have something to discuss, don't we?
Oh yeah. Well, I don't know how much we can discuss because we're
up a lot
pretty
of time,
much at 30 minutes right now. But I was just like, yeah. What do you think of this new Ooyah thing?
Ooyah.
Both of us have backed the project.
Yes.
Which pretty much means we just bought the console before it's even made.
Pre-ordered it. For those of you that don't know, Ooyah is a new kind of video games console that's being released next year. It's completely open source and it runs on Android 4.0. All the games on it are going to have some sort of free-to-play, so it's kind of a revolutionary idea.
Yeah, so it's kind of like a indie game system, which I'm kind of like interested in, although I think some big titles might end up signing on.
There are a lot of naysayers right now in the video game community, but I think there's room for it to do well.
Yeah, I think it might do well. I mean, like, you know, it wasn't like I spent like $300 on console and they flop. I spent
pretty cheap.
Yeah, it was actually really cheap.
I don't think it's going to be like the next blockbuster console, but I think it'll do well.
Yeah, and then again, we also didn't pay tax on it.
Exactly. I mean, worst case scenario, I've got a cool relic of the video game history.
Yeah.
That not everyone else is going
to
have.
I'll look forward to what happens when that comes out.
Actually, I was reading next March. A news article or interview about it recently. It's supposed to only be the size of, like, a Rubik's Cube.
I've seen the pictures of, like, the models, like, their designs. Yeah, it's going to be really small.
Well, it's only running, like a pretty much an Android-style processor for, like, mobile phones.
It's like a quad-core processor, I think. But then it's, like, 1 gig of gig of RAM.
Right.
And then NVIDIA, they're working with NVIDIA to boost the graphic card. So it'll be interesting, yeah. Keeping tabs on it. So,
Do you guys know what we're doing for the next episode of the show?
You're
ready to disclose that?
Well, we've been contemplating it, so we're thinking of maybe trying to dig up Shaq Fu, or...
Classic!
Or trying out one of these awful free-to-play MMOs out there, and seeing if what horrors might...
Await us?
Yes. Yeah, it will. So I guess,
Until next time?
This has been a great episode, guys.
Sure has. A lot to talk about.
Thanks for joining us here on this latest episode of Last Corner of the Arcade. Remember, you can find us at cyclejellyfish.com. We'll be on iTunes
Now we are on iTunes.
Well, soon. Yeah, we've been submitted. We'll be on iTunes soon. You can subscribe to us on iTunes through our website. You can find us at on Twitter at Jellycast, Facebook at facebook.com/psychojellyfish, or send us an email at email@psychojellyfish.com.
And if you are planning on playing Legendary, or if you have already played it and have any different opinions or your own input, feel free to email us
or post a comment. Thanks, everybody.
We would love to hear from you.
Enjoy your night. Keep it psych.